Hi, it's Jason Statham on a comedy advice podcast. What's your name? What you doing?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Easy, Jason. It's Stefan, your actual host here. Jason, he gets a little ambitious and he starts trying to be menacing, but that's not going to fly here. What's going to fly here is jovial cheer. And man, I found a rhyme again in the intro. Guys, I'm so happy to have you on board on the flight of this episode of a comedy advice podcast. And guess what? Special guest, Rick Overton. He's an actor, writer, and comedian. And he did a very special thing. He just had his new special come out called Setlist. And he did not write anything for it. Actually, if you guys haven't heard about Setlist, it's a really cool concept where comedians go on and there's a screen that gives them prompts and they have to talk about that for 5 minutes or so. And he did an actual special where he just pulled things out of the tush based off of the screen. And it was hilarious. I highly recommend that you watch it. Link is going to be in the show notes right after you listen to the episode, though, because I think the episode is like a nice charcuterie board and he's like a nice prosciutto and I'm like an olive because I'm kind of green and boring and thing a little swollen, a little puffy, but I go down okay. I'm good with a martini or after you've had a martini. I don't know. But Rick, he's that good type of prosciutto. He's a slice of goodness, and I can't get enough of him. You guys can't either. Apparently, Hollywood can't either because he's been in everything. He was in The Office. He was Pam's dad. He was in Groundhog Day. He was in a whole bunch of movies. His IMDb page is just riddled with spots because he's just that good. He's an amazing human being and he's just such a treasure to talk to. He's so fun. So show him some support, watch his special. Also, September 8th, Phoenicians at the House of Comedy. I am going to be performing with Lamar Mitchell Jr. at our new show, Trash or Treasure, where we have comedians in a tournament style debate where they talk about if a topic is trash or treasure. And the audience decides who wins. And it's beautiful. It's going to be amazing. And it's September 8th. Link is in the show notes for that as well. Come on down, watch, and say hello, you know? And if you haven't yet, subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend about this lovely podcast, or listen with a friend. Have a listening party. Find the friend that just talks so much and you want them to stop. Be like, hey, do you want to listen to this podcast? And then you can listen to me, your new friend that talks so much. So I'm going to stop talking in my present self, and then I'll let you hear me in my past self. Here's the episode. I don't know if you heard that. But
recording is in progress. I love the word progress. I'll tell you that.
I like the word in. That's a key one for me.
That too. Ah, sweet youth.
Rick, how are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How's it going? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on. I'm really excited to chat with you. So
that's good.
This is going to be great. I love the background too. Yours is so much more interesting than me. Leaving a little bit of mystery. I'm getting like the bottom half of a lake.
That green screen comes down.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's like my little, you know, COVID lockdown studio in here. And I just, you know, put the crap down and then suddenly I'm somewhere else. So.
Oh, it looks great. Looks awesome.
This is the best it's looked in a while.
Oh, hey, nice.
This is a green screen background. That's how good it is. Yeah. I'm going for that. Oh, he's got some artsy mid-project thing going. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. I like that. The work in progress. That's the word we love. Oh, man. And the shirt, too. I think it just really complements the whole thing. I love the yellow.
Is it too busy? Do I need to, have my shirt tone it down so we can hear each other?
It is speaking louder than you right now. So if
yeah,
if
I'll just, try to talk ahead. Over my shirt. I'll be very rude. I'm going to talk over the shirt.
Oh, man. And guess what? You listeners and watchers, you might be like, who's talking over the shirt? It's a very special guest here on a comedy advice podcast with me, Stefan Sitani, joining us today, comedian, actor, writer, improviser, Rick Overton, everybody. Clap, clap, clap.
Oh, we'll fix it in post. Hey, thank you very much for having me on the show. I Yeah, this is great. And by the way, this is the face of the future. Learn how to be on this TV because you can be on this one a lot.
Oh man, yes.
The TV, the TV you got in your pocket.
I like that. The pocket picture, the pocket TV. That's really nice.
It is. You remember it used to be giant news networks. Now it's just some guy goes and starts recording.
Yeah, exactly. Whether you know it or not, too.
Anybody can do it.
Oh man. Exactly. Even a caveman can do it. And I'm really excited to have you here, Rick, because I also just watched your new special, the Set List Live, I was dazzled, I have to say. It was an absolutely incredible special. And I wanted to talk with you about it a little bit. First thing I wanted to, well, also for the listeners who are intrigued, and listeners, the links are going to be in the show notes. So you guys can click on over there after this conversation and watch that special. But it was one of the coolest things about it was 100% improvised, which was really cool.
That's it. The set list is such a fun and wonderful game. Don't you think it is? Have you seen Set List before?
That was the first time I've seen Set List.
Wow. Okay, good. That's a good start.
Yeah, it was a nice one for dipping my toes in the water. But yeah. For everybody that is new to Set List, correct me if I'm wrong here, Rick, but Set List, apparently, it's a game that's been created for stand-up comedians to kind of test out if they had just walked on stage and prepared nothing. They get these cues from the screen. Things like on your set list, there was what, Cirque de Circumcision? And
what am I going to do?
and like free range concentration camp, all sorts of crazy, wacky cues where.
Left field, right field, every field. It's like going into a batting cage where the balls are being auto launched from every direction at once.
Oh my gosh.
And you're like a Jedi, just knocking them away in every direction. Some are going to hit you right in the face. Okay, I missed that one.
Oh man. And it's,
and
so
you get to see it all. You got to see me get my ass beat. I go, I claw out again, you know, the whole thing up and down, left and right.
And it was super cool to see. And I have to say too, this is the first, you're the first person to actually make a full special out of it, because usually the sets are a lot shorter, but you ended up doing a full, was it 40, 30 minutes?
Yeah. And then you put the little things on the front of the audience, because we needed to explain what this is a little bit, because it's kind of weird and different. Mm-hmm. And hopefully there'll be more of these. There'll be more set list specials with other artists doing this, and hopefully I get to do another one. Here's the thing about it. You don't need a year of workout to get your next hour. You just need to ride to the theater. You'd be there that night. And if the one running it has a whole other list of suggestions to go off of, you just go right back up and do it again. It's not the same show. You're doing a completely different thing with the same use of your right hemisphere again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know it was really cool because after the special, there you can watch this on the special afterwards. There's the post commentary where you're talking about your thought process going through it. And you said some really impactful things to me. I think I actually wrote a couple of them down. One of the things was you like to dig yourself in a hole. You like to go as far as you can in the trenches to just see how you can claw your way out of it, which I thought was really an interesting perspective, where a lot of people, including myself, like to avoid falling in the trenches, digging ourselves in holes. But your perspective is, I welcome that. I like to test myself and see how I can get out of it, which obviously it happened a couple times in the show. And it was such a high reward for both you and the audience to be able to see you get out of it and find a funny place to it. But first off, that's such a cool perspective that I have started to try and use.
That's really part of the point of why I'm doing all this. That makes me very happy. All right. Good.
Yeah. And I just sometimes I feel, especially if I go and do stand up or if I'm even doing an interview like this, I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen if I go in a left field or go in a different place or they say this? I'm like, you know what? I'll challenge myself, see where I can be. And it leads into another thing that you were saying too on, if your brain is dial up, your gut is DSL, which made me think a lot too, where I think a lot of us don't understand the power of our gut, which some with severe indigestion might, but I think more metaphorically speaking, it's really an impactful tool where it can process things so quickly. And some things you're able to just, I mean, you are able to paint pictures where you set the scene of yourself in a hospital gown and at a retirement home and all these things just on the fly. And I feel from what you said and what I believe, it was your gut that helped you out there.
It's just smarter than you. It's faster than you. It's righter. It's right more often than you. If you is the rest of you listening or not listening to it, but every time you listen to it, you win. It's never out on your side. The other half of your brain is like a recording device, and it doesn't know any better that when it's recording everything live time, it doesn't know it's not making it. It has a, why am I storing it if I'm not making it? It's because you're the storage unit. Just like my phone didn't come up with all my friends on that list, but the phone thinks it owns everything now.
Very true.
The half of your brain, which is the left brain. And people think left brain is creative. No, right brain is creative. Goes to the left side because everything switches. But your gut and your left brain could be the same thing depending on how you look at this. You could say that there's no real receptor down here below your sternum that's receiving any information. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it all is in your mind. Maybe it is all out of your memory. But I think there's something more to it. Whenever you're coming up with bits or things like you've never even thought of the topic and you're just coming up with this great bit out of nowhere. Like, what the hell's going on there? I just have to respect that improv on some level as a mechanism tapped into the Jungian larger subconscious of some kind, you know? Maybe that's a technology that we just don't call technology yet. But one day we'll look at it as a science when we have a better understanding. Science is just the getting off your ass and trying to understand it. That's what the science is. Figure it out.
It's really, really interesting, all of that too, because I had I'd had Colin Mockery and Brad Sherwood from Whose Line on here, and they were talking about it where people were still saying, oh, but it's not all made up, right? You guys do have some scripted parts, or you do practice. And they're like, no, they might practice through improv, but none of it's written, just like your set too. And it's really cool. Well, it's really strange that people just still aren't able to wrap their minds around it. And I'm not sure how much science has been done around it, but I think that it's something that people just don't know that much about. And
they're scared to death of it. They're scared. And the reason so much of it, that fear, that, you know, dominant, I don't want to risk looking bad or looking stupid or being a fool. And I don't want to risk silence when I wanted to laugh. All these things, they're out of the memory half of the brain because it's screaming through the Rolodex going, I can't get you jokes at this speed right now. I'm going to abandon you. I can't find them in time. You're screwed with me. And the problem is, it is only speaking from its perspective. You are screwed if that is the Rolodex you're using. It is actually correct. It's not accounting for the partner that's doing all the work, bringing in all that intuitive stuff and opening and trusting and being brave. And, you know, because there's a part of me is kind of like a daredevil on some levels, but how's an old man going to be a daredevil? You know, what can I do risky now? Get that old ring. I try to set up things where I'm going to dig myself into such a certain ditch. You know, America, we need certain such and such that And I know from my childhood, the one thing my father told me, and turn around and it can't be anything that the father said to you, and you have to somehow justify it, you know?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
My ditch I try to get out of is so certain. So if you're going to try and have some fun with this game set list, maybe at first just stay loose. But when you think you're a little more confident and fluid with it, try setting yourself up. So now you've got to, because these are all tests for your ability and your mind included, and your skill and your belief in yourself. It's a separate thing. When you believe in yourself, what are you calling that self? Is it just all the experiences from the past, or is yourself also this person who booms out these interesting new things too, because you got out of your own way? So why don't you call that yourself as well? Just add that to the list of what yourself is. You don't have to take anything away. Just also think of yourself as a fluid, forward, chancing artist. You know, everything new had to be made from that same place, whether you're holding a paintbrush or a chisel, pen.
I think I'm just going to edit this part out and play it back to myself every morning with music. That's the most motivation.
good. But no rote memorization now. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. But I wanted to ask, I mean, it seems like you have reached that place where you are able to do that. And has it always been that way? Or was there a certain point when you made a conscious decision to say, you know what, I'm going to believe in myself. I'm going to trust my gut and I'm going to kind of do improv? Or have you always been that way?
I would say it's a gradient scale of stumbles along the way and getting dusting off and getting up again and trying it again, because you had a hero early on. And my hero early on was Jonathan Winters as a kid, when he's doing the stick on the Parr show and they just gave him a stick. And this is like, talk shows were black and white and kinescope and new and live commercials and everything was kind of spontaneous. And Jonathan, they trusted him that they didn't clear a list of material you show the producer before you go on. Spot producer always has to go like with a microscope for every syllable and what you're saying out there. You don't want to anger the sponsors, but they didn't care with Jonathan. Nothing, just go. When do you think he'll be done roughly? And he would just go and just improvise and kill. And they're very smart to allow that to happen, because they gave themselves a gift by allowing that to happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That works out fine for them.
Yeah, it just reminded me, actually, I thought about this, is I had Eric Griffin on a while back, and I had seen that he had done, I didn't see I'm Dying Up Here, but I started to watch a couple of clips and I saw you in it as well.
Beck, he's a wonderful actor. Did you see that scene where those guys have a fight and you're like a hack comic and he smashes his bar up and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
And is he's looking at his life and where he thinks he's sold out and everything, you know? That was like, oh, it's so freaking good. Look, comedians can do this, you know? Comedians can act their asses off. Judy Gold is an actor.
Red, it was,
made me cry.
I mean, you yourself as well. And I had first, this was a couple of years ago when I had heard this interview with Vince Gilligan, who wrote Breaking Bad, and he was talking about how comedians make some of the best actors. And he had, I think it was Bill Burr and Leonard Outs, and he was talking about how good they were. And then I started having that consciously, I started to see all these comedians. I mean, you as well. I think I saw you in The Office after I was thinking about that interview. I think you were Pam's dad. And I mean, you've been in so many different things too. I mean, I've seen you in The League.
And I've used improv in more than half of my IMDb. I've been allowed to improvise, because I got a reputation that'll be okay to let them do it. You know, they know that you'll turn out something that they can use, and you're not going to step on everybody, and you're not going to not be in character to get your laugh. And because, you know, on camera improv is in some ways, it's a lot different from the way you do improv on stage or even in set list.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are on stage, you're showing off how clever and fast you are. But improv on cameras, you're straight poker straight playing an idiot 6 pages ahead of how stupid he is, or whatever it is that's like that, to get that improv Christopher Guest kind of, it's not how funny and cool you are, it's how funny and cool you think you are. And you're adhering to it, and it's all the little life details added in between those things that make up, that's on camera improv, has a lot of that. And then there's funny on camera improv where you're just someone else doing a thing that helps the scene. And even in Beverly Hills Cop, we were playing around with the scenes throughout. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got introduced to improvising in films a lot. It was difficult almost to, and then I go, okay, stick to the page. I got in trouble a couple of times, but it's because I
really,
a little bit. Okay. They're trying to be like, okay, let's just do the scene. But I got this great gag. Let's just do the scene.
I've been there before. Foreplay with the wife. She's like, let's just stick to the routine, please. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Hang on. Lost my place. Hang on. All right. Are we on goldenrod pages now? Is this goldenrod? are we blue pages?
Oh my gosh. You are. Rick, you out of everything I've seen you in, and including the improv, it's just I want to be like you when I am bigger. I guess I'm
getting now. Just start looking in the mirror. Going, oh my hand, happened there.
It's
mom's dad. What happened there? It's mom's dad.
Yes, that's I think I'm screwed because my dad's bald, my mom's bald, my whole
dad is what
bald.
Yeah. All right. That's how it goes. It jumps from mom's dad to you. But how old are you now?
33.
Well, maybe they'll have some miracle something or other for you, Some electrical hat every morning.
just drilling lasers into my follicles until I...
All right. All for a good cause. It's all for vanity.
It singes my eyebrows off, but the head hair, that's what... They
found out later, it wipes out the eyebrows. Yeah.
So. I'm completely sterile, but, the head of hair.
Commercial for the lawyer. Have your eyebrows been destroyed by Herotron hats and, Folitron. Folitron.
Oh my God. I love it. So Rick, this has been awesome. We're going to dive into the advice portion of the podcast and we're going to answer some questions from...
Oh, this wasn't it? I thought I was giving great advice. Okay.
Oh, no. You gave some great actual advice. Now we can do some lighthearted...
Hang on. Meme shot.
Beautiful. And is that some yerba mate that I see you drinking?
That's right.
Very nice. My wife is from Brazil and she drinks yerba mate as well. So
yeah, I like it. It's a more balanced kind of energy.
Yes, exactly. She has it in this little goblet type thing. So I look like, with the hair, I kind of look like a wizard when I drink it. It's got the little stem, but it's very majestic. I hate the taste, but
you know that kidney stone, you shall not pass.
This first question we've got here, it's from the Reddit advice column, and it says, getting 2 wisdom teeth out, and I'm terrified of the laughing gas. I'll be there with my mother, and there are things I absolutely cannot tell her. If I'm on the wonky gas, am I going to be able to keep my mouth shut and not tell her the things? Will I be able to control what I say at all? Or am I kind of fucked?
Wow. I say... Don't be there. Tell mom not to be there. If you're that scared, man, you're sitting on something. For that to even be like a question, come on, you're sitting on something. It wouldn't occur to me to ask that or that. That means you got mom. Or you know what? Steer into the skid and tell mom now. That's what I say. Just lay it out. Tell her now before you're under. Find a way to word it. Tell her now.
Oh, that I love that advice, because that way you can at least be a little tactful about it. If there's a body in the closet, you could be like, Mom, you remember Bill? He was mean.
Yeah. Remember that smell in the closet? Yeah.
And you know what? If she's great at cleaning, she can help you dispose of the body. It can be like a bonding activity.
Where did I go wrong?
It's the
truck, Henry. Lift one more of my knees.
It's that darn Fallatron. That was the fall of our son's morals, I believe. But
his soul. That thing zapped his soul. He wasn't the same after that.
He's got fabulous hair, but unscrupulous morals.
He can't stop facing north.
His moral compass and his actual compass are broken now. So it's...
That's right. Yeah. They're pointing at each other, and you know that I don't believe in pointing.
I think that's great advice. The only other thing I was thinking of is share the laughing gas with Mom. Maybe does she have her wisdom teeth out? Have the same thing happen to her. Mom, those wisdom teeth, they're just really, really causing some trouble over there. So I think you need to get them plucked out, and I'll drive you home.
Did I dream that you said that you were having sex with the horse? Or was that, Mom, yeah, you dreamt that. That was definitely something you dreamt, yeah. That is never anything I would say about our horse.
Yes, old, that old.
Now and runs to the other side of the stable when I come in.
That was me that wrote help in the bottom floor of the stable with a hoof. That was not our horse. No.
Flicka is smart.
Well, some excellent advice on that question. We'll move on. Yeah,
you brought it home, doctor.
That was a fantastic. I concur, doctor. The last question we've got here is, I keep having nightmares and not sure how to stop them or why they're happening. I've been having nightmares on and off for the last 4 or 5 years, and I don't know what's causing them or what to do. Most of the time I'm running from or trying to hide from something, but I never see what I'm hiding or running from. I just know it's bad and scary, or I'm trying to save someone. I moved recently and I saged the house and myself before moving in, hoping it would help somehow after a suggestion from a friend, but I'm not getting any help with the nightmares. Any ideas? Oof. So Rick, do you have nightmares usually, or are you a sound sleeper with good dreams?
Oh no. All my nightmares are when my eyes are completely open. No, you don't need them. Just turn on the news there and have yourself a look. Drive through any major city and you will see that you don't take that crap into your dreams. you have thoroughly processed it by the time you're home. No, I would say that, that you can pretend to deal with it by taking some kind of antidepressant or whatever it is that makes you sleep. But there's some of these sleep remedies. You wake up naked driving to Vegas because you're going to gamble or something like that, like Ambien, you know? And so I don't know if the pill route is the smart way to go here, but maybe a little dash of self-examination, trying to figure out where that dream is coming from.
I like that a lot. And I also liked the perspective, which I find solace in, is the world is plenty terrifying while you're awake. So it can't be that bad while you're asleep. I don't know what you're doing before you go to bed. Are you watching scary movies? Because you could watch comedy instead. You could watch Rick Overton's Setlist special, which is incredible. I
can find it on Prime. You can rent it on YouTube, and you can get it on comedydynamics.com.
There we go. And the link is in the show notes too. So you can click right over there for some
the sweetest of dreams, I heard, guaranteed.
Yeah, I hear that there's something called Rescue Remedy, sleep formula. I think anytime you know it's going to be about a formula of some sort, they don't last forever. Your body adjusts to any kind of material you take to sleep. I don't care what it is, whether a doctor says, oh, we got to up the dose, we got to this, we got to that. But I think you got to look at what that thing is. Generally, it's like a part of your subconscious that gets no recognition during the day and finally finds a window at night to try and, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt your dream, but I'm from your childhood and there's some crap you got to look at, man, because it's steering you wacky in your day-to-day life right now.
Oh, I like that. So it's kind of like trusting your gut, like when you're up on stage, trust your gut when you're sleeping and it's telling you that there's some childhood trauma that needs to be dealt with, or maybe there is somebody scary by the window that is coming for you. So be alert. Yeah.
The scary person by the windows of sense of helplessness and vulnerability. And generally that would be kid can't really fight back, you know? So that's why we go to childhood often for these things. It isn't always from childhood. It could be a recent trauma and God knows we've had a those, right? You know? Fair. So I mean, I don't always have a joke for things like this because there might be something a little heavier going on here that I don't know what a joke goes, you know?
That's totally fair. Maybe the last thing, go get your wisdom teeth taken out. Maybe you could get the laughing gas and then you could record yourself so you could understand your subconscious a little bit. You could tell yourself those dark secrets that not even you don't want mom to hear. And
you know, there's a theme going on here, right? Everything's connecting to one place. And that's the place unaddressed. The place is the subconscious. Whereas with improv, it is the place addressed. It is, in fact, in the place invited to not only participate, but lead. The subconscious gets permission to be the boss briefly. And it does quite well.
I like that. So maybe do improv too. That might be a great place. That might be some good therapy.
And improv therapy has been known to work in the past. There's people who have processed a lot of stuff out in a scene. I know, you know, that we're the only guys with a job where we get paid to work our therapy out on them in the audience. You know, it's they pay us.
That's a good point. I like that. That's a nice twist.
You know, we kind of, and in one way or another, we're kind of working something out. And we often get it worked out. It's really good for you. It's good for you to express.
Yes, agreed. I think that was some fantastic advice for this nightmare-riddled human being. So I hope you have some sweet dreams. And I hope all of you guys have some sweet dreams after you listen to this episode, because it was so much fun. Rick, thank you so much for joining. Hey.
I had the best time. Thanks for inviting me. And I hope we get to chat again. And thanks for helping promote my comedy special.
Oh, absolutely. And I know we talked about your comedy special, which is going to be in the show notes for everybody that missed it the other two times. But Rick, is there anything else that you'd like to plug? Where can people follow you?
Rick Overton on Twitter.
And that was it. Rick Overton, everybody. What a treat. What a gem. What a cherished treasure of the United States of America. Go and support him. Watch his special. Don't forget to support me. Follow me on Instagram. Subscribe. Leave a review and check out Trash or Treasure, the new show. I'm also hosting at JP's Comedy Club. Link will be in the show notes for that as well. Come see me perform stand-up and come see me at the Trash or Treasure show. Perform whatever it is we're going to do. It's going to be amazing. All right. Love you guys so much. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep being beautiful people. Keep being amazing people. Give yourself a hug every once in a while. I don't know if you can actually stretch that far back, but give it a try. I mean, people, dudes try and, you know, give them self fellatio. So why don't you just self hug yourself? I think that's way more crucial and important. It's like the self cuddle, really. I guess there's the argument there, but anyway, I'm going to leave you guys to ruminate on that and give you a big old gooch smooch. Love y'all. Mwah. Ciao.